It's time again for 3-Point Podcast. Three sports guys, three generations, and three hot takes. The triple threat includes baby boomer Ted Patel of Z92.5 The Castle. Our Gen Xer is Matt Burns of ESPN and the SEC Network out of Charlotte, North Carolina. The millennial man is Jared Patel of Bally Sports Detroit. Comments and questions can be sent by email to 3pointpod@gmail.com. Follow 3-Point Podcast on social media at 3-Point Pod. The fellows will get it rolling right after this from our partners.
Check out the Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center in the Now building on the campus of Memorial Healthcare. Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center includes locker rooms, private showers, steam rooms, a sauna, a lap pool, and more, including a raised track for walking and running with views of the entire Memorial campus and surrounding area. Personally, I love it, man. Sunday, Saturday morning, get in there, get a good workout in, hit the sauna up, and I also do the steam room. So it's a perfect spot. I mean, I think it's only $12 for a day pass, but for those of you who are looking to join for a winter membership, it's up to 15% off for your membership when it's paid in full. Memorial Healthcare strives to bring healthcare and wellness together, servicing patient needs from diagnosis to treatment to rehab and beyond. For more details, go online at www.memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE. That's 989-720-2273.
Rivals Tap House and Grill is the area's go-to spot for the best in food and drink. Meet up with your friends and catch your favorite sporting events on over 20 high-def flat-screen TVs.
And our 120-inch projection screen.
Rivals can handle your large or small parties and is an awesome spot to put on your fundraising events. Weekly food and drink specials including gourmet burgers, wings, pizza, homemade soup, and salads. Rivals also stocks a large selection of craft and domestic brews. Rivals Tap House and Grill, the official gathering spot of 3-Point Podcast, located on the corner of Shiawassee and M21 in Corona.
It's time for episode 308 of the 3-Point Podcast, presented by the Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center. Check out memorialhealthcare.org for details and everything they offer. And you still have time to sign up for the Road Trip Challenge from April 22nd to June 17th. They've got a challenge, 230 miles. To walk, run, or bike the distance from Kerwood Castle to the mighty Mackinac Bridge. Registration now available. Just call the front desk or stop into the Wellness Center. Also want to thank our other great partners. They include AZ Branding Solutions, Jacobs Insurance Agency, Corey Shook & Associates Real Estate Services, Nelson House Funeral Homes, Rivals Tap House & Grill, and Success Group Mortgage and Servicing.
I don't think we're going to do a Tedertainment tonight. So this is why I just had to throw it out right now.
Okay.
You recommended the movie Poor Things maybe a week or two ago, Ted.
I did.
Are you a freaking psychopath? I watched the first probably 10, 15 minutes of this movie. It was the worst thing I've ever seen put on the silver screen. What was that? Like, flat out, what was that? It was uncomfortable. It was like the Tim Burton-esque shit that I can't stand, where it's like a dreary world and it was black and white. I didn't even make it to the color part. Apparently it turns to color at some point in that flick. Once I understood like what the premise of the movie was and just the first opening scenes of Emma Stone, like I was so uncomfortable that I could not like even fathom watching that movie. And one comment you made that stuck out to me is you said something like, yeah, I went back and rewatched it. I like loved it so much. Like, what? Explain to me what I missed about this movie, because it was maybe the worst thing I've ever seen. I don't know. Maybe I'm not cultured. I know it's winning a lot of awards, but Emma Stone, Poor Things, it was just flat out bad.
It's not for everybody, but I will say this. It's the kind of movie I do like. It was very strange. It was intentionally to make people uncomfortable, but the storyline itself I thought was pretty fascinating. And hey, by the way, I am not alone, because it did get nominated for Academy Award. She won an Academy Award. Right. So it's not like I just was off a cliff and said, this is a good movie, because a lot of people agree with me, but right. I do understand it's not for everybody. You know, it's just like anything else. You know, I wouldn't recommend stuff for other people to enjoy, but I will, when I do a segment, I'm going to say what I enjoy. That's right.
I understand that. I just don't, it was like, I don't know, man. It's interesting that it is this, like, do people like it? Or is it more so the, like, you know, like the Fishman movie, Shape of Water, and all these other Academy Awards, where for whatever reason, people think like it deserves all these awards because it's different. Different doesn't always mean good.
That's part of it. But I will say this, and I'll just throw this out. My wife and I have differing tastes on different things. And when I asked her what she thought, and we both said, we got to sleep on this to figure this out, really. But she said, and she's told other people this, she couldn't stop watching it. She couldn't take her eyes off it. That's the review from her.
Yeah, I was kind of in the same boat because I watched it after your review, Ted. So I went into it knowing it was pretty strange.
Yeah.
And right off, like you said, Jerry, right off the jump, it is very strange. But it is one of those, like, if you can get past the strangeness, the weirdness, it's obviously super artistic. And if you like that kind of stuff, how movies are shot, how they're written, the acting, it's obvious there's a reason why it was nominated for so many awards, because it is
different,
super interesting to watch, the visuals and everything. But then it grabs you because the story is very, I've never seen a movie like that. The storyline and stuff. I was like, I mean, I know you like Frankenstein, you know, similar.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like that, but, you know, still different than Poor Things. You had to watch it. You had to see it out and be like, how is this going to play out? What the heck is going on in this movie?
Yeah.
And then, you know, like Mark Ruffalo's character, you know, you kind of get, you grasp onto him a little bit. Obviously Emma Stone was fantastic. So it's like, it's one of those, like, it's like a car wreck. You can't take your eyes off as you're driving by. It's like, what is going to happen in this movie? Yeah, it was weird.
Maybe I got to dive into more. Maybe it's because I knew what the plot was before that it just like it grossed me out. I couldn't even like, I don't know. I understand that it's this popular movie, it's winning awards, but I just didn't get it. It missed me on that one.
Okay, well, you gave it 10 minutes, so maybe give it another try sometime.
Like again, once I realized, oh, this is gonna be like one of them Tim Burton movies. Yeah, clock me out. Now, one other thing I gotta say.
Yeah,
and this also, I guess, so somewhat toward you, Ted. I kind of can't believe it wasn't in your opening monologue. To be honest, I mean, OJ Simpson, you're OJ Simpson guy. That's your guy.
Yeah.
What? Just the floor is yours.
I'm glad you brought it up. I mean, the OJ Simpson saga. You know, when you go all the way back to where he was at Southern Cal, won the Heisman Trophy. You know, I was right there for that. I was a young guy, you know, at 69, I think he won the Heisman. I was just getting ready to start high school, and the Juice was one of the best football players of all time. Obviously, drafted number one by Buffalo, first player to run for 2,000 yards in a season. His football career was, you know, Hall of Fame stuff, for sure, incredible. And then he goes from that to become a pretty decent broadcaster and then went into movies. So he had everything. Everything. He had the beautiful wife. And then, you know, in 91 or whenever it was, the jealousy just got him and he kills his wife and kills the other guy. And I'm not even going to say allegedly. He was acquitted. He was an acquitted murderer, is how I would phrase it, you know. So that whole OJ story was just an unbelievable, fascinating thing. Where it went to the car chase, and the car chase in 94 was spellbinding, man. It was like they cut away in the NBA finals to have half the screen on OJ. I mean, Matt, you work for ESPN. The ultimate documentary on OJ Simpson was what ESPN did. I mean, if you haven't seen it, Jared, check that thing out. It'll bring you up to speed on everything. But it was one of those things. It was a cultural moment. You know, the whole trial, 9 months of trial, he's acquitted at the end. It was the whole racial thing because all the black people out there thought it was payback for the Rodney King thing. I mean, it was just, it was so culturally captivating.
Right.
It's one of those moments in life, you know, where you look at the Challenger explosion, JFK, this and that, and then the OJ saga. It's unreal and gone at 76.
And because I mean, unless I miss something, not that I keep up on my OJ information, but I didn't know he had cancer. I didn't know, you know, that he was sick and obviously older, but I didn't know any of that was public. So it was a little shocking.
It was,
you know, that's what happened. And it is, you know, everyone, I watched, you know, some of the shows after it happened, and you laid it out perfectly, Ted, but some of the people reacting to it, and it was like, I think it was Get Up. I was watching Get Up on ESPN when that news broke. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so of course they brought it up, and it's such a hard thing to like react to, because the football player and even like you said, the actor, you know, someone said something like he played out his career exactly how a lot of professional athletes want to. Hall of Famer, Heisman Trophy, one of the best ever, transition right into broadcasting, movie star, all of that. It's like, really, like what else are you asking for as a pro athlete and then movie star?
Right.
And then obviously everything else that happened and what you laid out. So, you know, it's like somebody died, but you don't know how to react to it, because it's like, if you talk about the athlete, he's, you know, some people were like, he's one of my favorite football players ever. If you're talking about just a football player, loved watching him play. But then all the other stuff, it's like, seems like a pretty terrible human being, obviously. So it's like, it's such a strange thing. But I remember vividly watching the verdict. I remember in fourth grade, my teacher, Mr. Squires, and we were walking down the hallway, one of those TVs on a cart at Elsa Meyer. And I remember we were walking down the hallway and it was on, and he stopped us, you know, a bunch of fourth graders. And he was like, wait, we got to watch this, the verdict. And, you know, a bunch of kids were standing there like, ah, what's going on? And I just remember him glued to that TV watching it. It happened. And I just remember him storming into the room. You know, I don't know what his feelings were, but, you know, it was like he had to stop his class and watch that verdict in the middle of, you know, a bunch of fourth graders. So, yeah, it's insane. It's really crazy.
What's funny is this was in the day and age before social media too. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the amount of viewers that watched that verdict was astronomical from what I remember. You know, yeah. Everybody in this country was interested in the OJ case. Now, Jared, from a guy that wasn't even around then, do you find this to be kind of comical, or how do you look at it?
I guess what is interesting to me is like you, like this, maybe this isn't the right word, but you seemingly liked OJ. Like, I mean, when he passed away, I got like three or four messages from people. How's Ted doing? Is Ted okay? Have you checked on Ted? you mentioned how you've watched like Nelk Boys interview, which Nelk Boys are for like that's almost a younger demographic than me, who they're targeting. But yeah, OJ brought you to Nelk Boys.
But so it's not that I liked him, Jared. It's he's a fascinating character to me. Always right. has been, especially after he got acquitted, you know, because you still had to watch what he was up to. You know, I mean, here's a clown that robs people that had supposedly taken his memorabilia. He gets sent away for what, 9 years in prison for that. And didn't, I mean, it's just, he's a fascinating guy. I'd use that term probably more than like him.
Yeah, it's right. And so, like, I didn't know OJ as a football player. All I've ever known OJ as my whole life was this, like, crazy person who murdered a couple people. Like, so I don't have the attachment like you do, where it's like you saw his whole career pan out and it would be the whole shock of it all. It just is a story. I hate to say it. I'm hoping it's finally in the rearview mirror. To me, it's not worth the 10 documentaries, the new TV show about it every year. Right. But there will be another one coming now that he's passed. Probably a few more of them. But I don't know. But you seem to love him. And Matt, you even seem to watch a lot of them as well. So it's I think I just missed that. I missed it.
I think it's one of those that, you know, it takes you back in time to like what it was like back then.
Yeah.
Because it would be the same as, you know, maybe an event like 9/11 will be like that. We'll always have documentaries on like what was happening in the world, you know, back then, and kids 10 years from now who weren't alive then. I mean, I know you were super young, Jared, so you don't really remember that, but like, you know, so it'll be interesting to look back on like what that huge, the JFK assassination, like you said, Ted, all these events in US history or the world that just like captivated, you know, took the world, the country by storm. Everyone was watching. So it's like, you know, what was going on? Why is everyone talking about this? It's a cool look back.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. And, you know, just to kind of set the stage to wrap it up, that day of the chase, I was doing a semifinal baseball game down in Battle Creek, and I had to play Gus Macker, ironically enough. We'll talk more about that. Had a Gus Macker up in Gaylord. So I left the baseball field, drove up 27, had to get gas in Lansing, and all these people in the gas station are looking at their little TV screen up above the counter. I said, what's going on? They said the juice is on the loose, you know. So they got this slow chase going on. So I have to put it on, you know, and this is the day and age you had to scan the radio to try and get some news, right? And I got the news channel on and listening to it all the way to Gaylord. And my wife and I are going, you know, we're just fascinated by it. We're just glued to our radio. And they didn't catch him till about half hour after we got to Gaylord. So we put the TV on and got to see the finale of that day. We'll never forget it.
It's crazy. It and is. Apparently, I mean, no, I think it is interesting to relive that time that everyone huddled around the little TV at the gas station is hilarious. But and what now you there's reports that he had all of his kids sign a non-disclosure agreement.
I saw that at the hospital. Yeah.
So people are wondering, like, what did he tell them? You know, so
they're going to find his little safety deposit box with a confession in it or what?
Oh, right. My God. I'm OJ now.
That's another documentary, Jared. That's a whole another documentary, Jared.
Well, since we're talking entertainment here, and before we get to our prep spotlight, you guys probably saw my post on SNL. I mean, SNL this last week was an all-timer, I thought. Ryan Gosling kicked butt, and their Beavis and Butthead sketch had me literally almost puking. I was laughing so hard. It was hilarious. Did you guys get a chance to see
SNL,
that clip?
SNL is having a resurgence. I did. It was funny. It's always funny when the characters break. Yes. Heidi Gardner is kind of the one that was in the middle of that sketch, who was the one like dying laughing. When that, like, honestly, the guy's face, it really, the sketch wasn't that funny. It was just that guy. I should know his name. But he just was, it was a perfect, like, what the hell is this guy's face? It's hilarious. Like, there's really nothing else to the sketch other than that guy, like, just being hilarious. But no, SNL's having a serious, like, kind of resurgence. Ted, I can't believe we're seeing it. I mean, you've been following it. We've been having to listen to it for the last 7 years on this pod or how long.
I am a fan. I'm a lifelong fan.
Where it's relevant. And so I'm glad that we have you as our correspondent.
Thank you.
I'm surprised, Jared, that you enjoyed that and you didn't hate on the reference of Beavis and Butthead because it was before your time.
Beavis and Butthead was great, man. They Beavis and Butthead also had, like, I think they brought it back for one season probably 10 years ago. And so I love it. Beavis and Butthead's a great show.
Yeah.
No, it was funny. Yeah, Ryan Gosling I saw people saying he should be like a regular guest.
Yeah.
Because his skits are always good. But and then when Caitlin Clark showed up, obviously, on Weekend Update, she had some good stuff too. So yeah, that was – I didn't watch the whole episode. I watched just the clips, but it was good.
I don't know if they got a new, like, leadership. I know Lauren Michaels is still there, but, like, they had Shane Gillis, Dua Lipa is, like, performing and hosting it. I mean, the Caitlin Clark cameo, Ryan Gosling, who else? Cindy Sweeney. Like, it's just – they've really done a great job this season.
They have. Yeah.
So it's like, let's keep this going. You guys got some momentum. Keep it going.
I don't know if shows like that, do they have showrunners like they do for series and sitcoms and that type of stuff? Whoever's in charge of doing the booking, you're right. They've had a great season this year.
That's what that show lives on. At the end of the day, that's what, like, people shit on the cast and all this and that. You got to get the stars to host it, to perform at it. That's what keeps that show alive.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, good musical guest too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Chris Stapleton, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a good show. It was definitely the best show of the season, without a doubt. You guys have had probably friends of yours, Jared, maybe not, but Matt, close friends of yours that have divorced that kind of surprised you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was really bummed out that the Golden Bachelor, Gary and Teresa, split up.
Already?
They're getting divorced after 3 months.
Oh, 3 months? That's got to be a record or something. Hopefully they signed a prenup.
Just heartbreaking.
Which you even thought of all the couples that have gotten married on that show, that would be the one that would stick it out. Like,
you would think.
I mean, you're in the golden years of your life, like, just kind of ride it out. But again, that's why I hate that damn show. What even the old timers are just doing it for some clout. It's like, what are we doing?
Apparently, I know that. Well, that's the final one I'm watching, that's for sure. Hey, one final thing here in this segment, guys. We had a lot I was gonna throw in here. You had posted it too, Conan O'Brien on the Hot Ones. Now, I haven't really seen that. I've just seen the postings on social media. What on earth is going on? I mean, he's got some good guests. He asked some good questions. But, man, Conan, he ripped it up, man.
I mean, Conan's a maniac. I'd be curious, Jared, if you kind of like Conan, because he was super popular, you know, back, you know, 90s, early 2000s, you know, when I was high school, college. You know, obviously there was Letterman, Jay Leno, and then Conan was always kind of like the other one, you know, mm-hmm. but... Yeah. I always loved his comedy. He was always super eccentric and just like crazy. And yeah, the Hot Ones, I mean, it's one of those shows, how popular it is and the guests that he gets. It's like, why didn't I think of this?
It's amazing. You
know, oh, we sit there and eat hot wings and I just ask questions. And it's funny because people can't eat the hot wings and they're sweating and they're like getting hiccups. You know, it's just like, it's the goofiest idea, but it's such a funny show to watch and see these celebrities go through that. And yeah, Conan went absolutely berserk. And, you know, he's obviously, you could probably say he's like a comedy genius, you know, with everything that he's done with The Simpsons. Oh, he worked at SNL for a while.
Yeah, he was a writer.
Obviously his own show. So, yeah, if anyone hasn't seen that Conan O'Brien Hot Ones, definitely go to YouTube and check it out. It's kind of crazy.
I'm not a big Conan guy. Yeah. But I mean, he's a Simpsons OG. So just right. That alone, he's my favorite of all those late night hosts that you mentioned. It's funny that he's like kind of the odd man left out. I never really understood the whole Jay Leno thing. So I put him ahead of Jay Leno. The thing with the Hot Wings show or Hot Ones show, like on surface level, you think, oh, it's like these guys eating wings and, you know, well, it's like they're in pain and all that. But like the thing that I think is crazy is like Sean Evans, who's like kind of the host of that. He's a freaking talented interviewer. The questions right. he comes yeah. up with, the research he does, like that's what makes that show go.
Yeah,
is that guy. But I don't really watch it, but man, he's got a hold on like social media and culture. He has for a long time now, 5 years. Gets whoever he wants on that show, and memes galore come from it every yeah. time he has somebody on that show.
Is so, it only on YouTube? Is that where it's only at?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. That's the best spot to have anything, really. I mean, anybody yeah. can watch. Yeah.
All right. I just want to make sure if I want to check it out some more down the road. I just been catching it on Twitter.
If you went back, go to the YouTube and you'd probably be surprised at some of the guests that he's had. Like Jared said, he's had basically everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, look forward to it. All right, let's move on from this and get to our prep spotlight with Teddy Reitquist of the Argus Press right after this.
It's much more than a gym. It's the Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center. Stocked with a wide array of state-of-the-art cardio and strength equipment, the Wellness Center also offers a variety of fitness classes. Run, jog, or get your steps in on the raised sky track with views of the entire Memorial campus. As part of your membership, enjoy the spa-like locker rooms with private showers. Also included is use of the steam rooms, saunas, and therapy pool. For more details, go online at memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE.
Are you ready to take your brand to the next level? Look no further. Introducing AZ Branding Solutions, where we help grow your brand from A to Z. At AZ, we're committed to helping businesses and organizations like yours reach new heights. Our full-service print and digital branding agency is your one-stop destination for all things branding. Need a stunning web or graphic design that captures your essence? We've got you covered. Want captivating social media content that engages your audience? Done. And that's not all. We're experts in video production and photography, ensuring your brand tells a compelling visual story. Plus, we specialize in screen printing and embroidery, turning your brand into wearable art that speaks volumes. Whether you're a startup or an established business, AZ is here to transform your brand dreams into reality. Ready to grow with us? Partner with AZ today and experience the difference. Visit our website at www.az.co or give us a call at 1-844-360-AZEE. AZ Branding Solutions, where your success begins.
All right, it's now time for the Prep Spotlight presented by Jacobs Insurance Agency, and we have a very special guest. He's a young guy, not like the guy he's replaced, Jerome Murphy. Now, we had a nice chat with Murph last year, but we're speaking with Teddy Reitquist of the Argus Press, their new sports reporter. And I've read some of your stuff, Teddy, and I really enjoy what I'm reading. It's a daunting task to cover all the schools in our area and all the different sports. So I know you got a lot on your plate, so we appreciate the time. Now, first question I have for you, are you a Teddy or are you a Theodore?
Uh-oh. My legal first name is actually just Ted, just three letters, T-E-D. But okay. Yeah, just gone by either Ted or Teddy most of my life. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people would think Theodore, but it's actually just Ted.
Yep, I'm a Theodore, but I answered to the Teddy from my mom till she was 92 years old. So
that's right.
So, Teddy, do you think at some point you'll change your... I'm always interested with this, kind of similar to the Johnny and the John thing. My brother recently went from being called Johnny to John. Do you think at some point you'll go from Teddy to Ted, or are you Teddy for the long haul?
That's a good question. You know, I think at this point I'm probably Teddy for the long haul. I mean, unless, you know, maybe something, you know, professionally work related where it made sense to change it. But at this point, I think I'm on board with being Teddy.
I like it. No offense, Ted. Yeah. I think Teddy has a little more pizzazz. So I think you maybe made the wrong choice all them years ago.
You're probably right. Teddy the sports guy.
Ted just sounds too professional, especially once you get to know Ted. And it's like, yeah, you know, he's not a Teddy. But so Ted did mention that you're replacing a legend, the Murph, Turf the Murph. I'm sure you've heard story after story about, you know, the great work that he did covering sports and other things in Shiawassee County. We were talking a little bit off air, I guess, that the three of us are from Corona, born and raised. Ted's still in the area. Jared, you know, still up there very often. So we still, you know, we know what's going on around that area with the sports scene. How does it feel, you know, not saying you're an outsider, but you're not born and raised in Corona or Wausau or whatever, and you're taking over for a legend. How does it feel coming in there, trying to learn the schools, the coaches, the traditions, you know, some of the big matchups and stuff like that? Is it a little overwhelming, or are you just kind of taking it all in stride?
Yeah, I'm trying to take it all in stride. Like you said, there's a lot of learning on the fly because I started there, you know, in January. So I jumped right in during the heart of basketball season and all the winter sports there. And I think, you know, following Jerome, like you said, it could be a tough task, you know, following a living legend. But, you know, I was also very fortunate, you know, to kind of, when I first started, get to work with him for a couple of weeks and kind of learn the ropes. And even now I could reach out to him and, you know, ask him anything. So he's a tremendous resource for me to have. And it was definitely kind of getting, you know, thrown right into the fire a little bit, but I think it was a good thing. And I've loved every minute of it so far.
I'll say this before these guys jump in. Honestly, Ted over here would be a great resource for you too. I don't want to put Ted on the spot, but maybe keep his number in your Rolodex. And if you ever have a little question,
always open for you anytime.
I already got your number saved, Ted. I'm sure I'll be asking you.
All right. Don't call after 10 o'clock at night though.
It's a good rule right there. I like it.
So we were talking off air and you said that you're kind of from Lake Orion. So what about, I mean, to me, and maybe it's just because we grew up in the Wausau Corona area, the Argus Press has, you know, kind of some fun tradition and history to it. I know a lot of the classic printing press in there, a lot of, you know, other newspapers and school newspapers print out of the Argus Press in Wausau. How did you end up there and what was appealing to you to come here?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, a few years ago, shortly out of college, I worked at a couple smaller newspapers in the Lake Orion area. I worked at the Oxford Leader and the Lake Orion Review. So I got, you know, some small time newspaper experience doing a lot of what I'm covering now, covering high school sports, except it was only for one or two schools there. And then, you know, I found out about this opportunity just from, you know, looking at job postings on Indeed, actually. And then I did some more deeper research on my own and went and visited the area. And I really like, you know, the Argus Press, 10 area schools. It certainly keeps you busy, but I like getting to rotate around and all that. And I really love, you know, the small town feel to it all. I mean, you guys know how it is being from the area. I think it's awesome how the community at all these schools, they show out for these games. There's great attendance here, sometimes better than you see even in, you know, like the Lake Orion area where there's larger schools. Sometimes you'll see better attendance at these schools. So I really like how the, you know, the communities care and just the feel that you have here in the Argus Press area.
You know, I always like talking to real journalist, if you will. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people out there in social media. That's how they're getting their bang for their buck. But you have to do both. You have to do real journalism, sports journalism, and then there is a share that you have to go online as well. Have you figured out the best way to work that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a really you know, good asset for that, and you guys see it as well, as you know, the X, formerly Twitter. That's a huge asset for me. You know, just to get stuff out there as quickly as it's happening live. So that's a big thing for me. And then, you know, I've been looking into maybe trying to see if I could do some stuff on Instagram, and then hopefully I can become more involved in, you know, broadcasting down the line as well. I'd be very interested in doing something like that too. So right now I'd say, you know, Twitter/X is the main thing that I use for the social media side of things.
Yeah. The broadcast. I see how you slipped in the broadcasting thing, knowing you've got Ted over there.
That's
you're,
right.
You're talking to him. I mean, he's already got his predecessor right now. Casey's doing an awesome job at the castle. But Ted, again, would be another one to keep in mind if you want to get into the broadcasting game. So you're talking about the balance, I guess, between the paper and social media. You have to. Nowadays, you have to use social media, especially Friday Night Lights. You know, on Friday nights, high school football. I mean, those scores. I'm just sitting there, you know, being out of town now, refreshing Twitter,
looking
for all the updates on scores, you know, and that's the best place to get it in real time, those scores. But there is something still cool about the newspaper. I mean, we all remember like getting an actual newspaper, seeing those headlines. If you were fortunate enough to get your picture on the front page or your name in the write-up, like there is still something really cool about an actual newspaper. Are you still kind of like old? I mean, you're going into the business. You are in the business. Do you still like that, you know, that side of it? You still have, you know, an appreciation for the actual newspaper, or kind of, are you looking to move on doing something else?
100% I do. Yeah. I'm with you guys in kind of that old school. I like the actual newspaper and what you were touching on there, Matt. You know, it's like a student athlete, or even more so, a lot of times it's like their parents or grandparents, when they see, you know, their son or daughter in the paper, you know, a picture, or even them just, you know, mentioned for some feat or accomplishment. And, you know, you can see how excited they are. So when I see someone get excited about something like that, you know, that's what makes me feel good. And yep, I'm definitely a physical old school newspaper guy myself.
We can tell from behind you, you got a couple of great newspapers right there with the Kirk Gibson Great and the Not Bad Boys. Here's a wild question. What goes into writing a good headline?
That is a good question. A lot of the times what I like to do is, if I can, I like to try to tie in someone's name to it. Like, you know, like if just like kind of like do a little play on words, like if their last name is Cruz or something like that. So I like to try to just get a little creative with it. But also my boss at the Argus Press, Aaron Bodis, he helps me out with those headlines, and he's been a terrific guy to work for. I like Aaron a lot.
Yeah.
You know, Teddy, for our listeners out there, we have a lot focused right here in mid-Michigan, obviously. This is kind of get to know the new guy, Teddy. Tell us a little bit about your background, you know, where you went collegiately, getting to the Argus. You mentioned about a couple of newspapers you worked at, but what about your education?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, graduated from Lake Orion High School back in 2014, so a decade ago now. And I went to Bowling Green State University in Bowling Green, Ohio, a MAC school. And I studied sport management there. And yeah, that was great. And I graduated from there in 2019. And so although I wasn't in, you know, journalism or broadcasting directly, it was, you know, a sports related field. And then a lot of my journalism was just, you know, self-taught, you know, something I was interested in, and started off just going out and covering local high school events. And, you know, I think a big part in getting to where I was today was starting off at the Lake Orion Review and the Oxford Leader newspapers there. And then, you know, I got a job from there at Lake Orion High School working for the AD. And then that led me to where my most recent job at Oakland University, where I was working as an SID there, but, you know, unfortunately got let go just because of some, you know, financial situations. But, and then, you know, that was what led me to, you know, begin my job search and brought me to the Argus Press here. So it was, you know, something I wasn't quite expecting. You know, it was kind of a roundabout journey, but I'm really happy where I ended up.
I mean, sometimes that's how it goes. No, go ahead, Jared. I was going to say that sometimes that's just how it goes.
That's how it goes sometimes. Yeah.
So you mentioned kind of being thrown into the fire a little bit. What was the kind of the first really kind of hard lessons you learned with being kind of a not necessarily a beat reporter, but kind of the head sports reporter at the Argus Press?
I've been fortunate, I think, in that I'll knock on wood as I say this, haven't had to learn too many hard lessons, I would say, yet. You know, I haven't had too many, you know, negative experiences or anything like that. But I definitely think the biggest thing for me jumping right in was acclimating myself with, you know, which schools are, you know, historically good in these programs. And, you know, because I got to, you know, even though I was brand new, I got to, you know, make it seem like I knew what I was talking about at that time. And, you know, because the readers know that and expect that. Right. So that was a big thing for me to kind of historically, at least the last few years, you know, acclimate myself with which schools have been good in their respective sports. So it gave me a good groundwork to build on there.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're biased. We love the area, especially our Corona Cavaliers, but we love all the area schools and all their traditions. Maybe there's not piles of state championships like in some areas on the west side or Jackson, Lumen Christi, or, you know, some of those powerhouse schools in Michigan or something, but there are really, you laid it out perfectly. The fans in that area, the communities, and, you know, they follow some of those sports, especially football, basketball, track and field, wrestling. I mean, there are really some fans that show up for these events. You came in middle of basketball season, so kind of, you probably heard about it, on the tail end of a pretty cool football season this past fall. Yes. What are you looking forward to? Are you looking forward to football? Are you looking forward to next fall? Do you love the spring sports? Because there's a lot of really good track programs in the area. You know, what kind of, from talking to some people in Shiawassee County, are you, kind of has you excited for the job?
Yeah, you know, right now I'm really interested in the track and baseball. You know, those are the two spring sports and that I've been really interested in. Of course, softball too. But then, you know, I think the number one, is once we get around to the fall here, the Friday Night Lights of football. I'm, you know, I was fortunate to experience that in Oakland County growing up, and this fall will be my first go around in this area. So I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah.
Ted, just so you know, Argus Press always did a great high school football preview that helped Ted a lot for his radio broadcast. It really gave Ted the inside info for those area teams. But also, we do a pretty cool, you know, we'll pat ourselves on the back. We do a pretty cool podcast. We call it the Prep Pigskin Preview, where we cover the whole state. You know, we get media members from around the state to preview their area for high school football. So we might be giving you a call to give us the inside goods on Shiawassee County.
It sounds good to me, and I'll be tuning in to find out about those other areas too. Yeah.
You beat me to it, Matt. I was gonna tell him, just pencil it in. You're gonna be our Shiawassee County guy for sure. Yep. You know, Teddy, you did miss the football season, like Matt said, but it was a pretty interesting basketball season with the storylines of Chesaning and Langsburg undefeated going into March Madness. You know, Langsburg was the last team standing in our area losing to Lumen Christi, but that had to be a little bit of a highlight, probably your early highlight in your career at the Argus, huh? Covering those teams.
Yeah, they'll probably always have that special place in the back of my mind that, you know, when I first started, these were the first two really good basketball teams I covered, Langsburg and Chesaning. And, yeah, it was awesome that they played in that regional semifinal game, that they were both 24-0 going into. And, you know, for Langsburg, of course, it was their second year in a row being undefeated in the regular season. And Chesaning, this was maybe the best season they've ever had, their first district title in almost 30 years. So that was a great game. Xander Woodruff, of course, was a little too much for Chesaning, but then they ran into one of those schools we talked about, Jackson Lumen Christi, in the regional championship game there. But another terrific season for Langsburg. And I'm, you know, very excited to see, you know, what Xander Woodruff does in college, because I think he's a heck of a player.
What did I see? He committed to LCC to play basketball at Lansing Community. I'll be honest, I didn't know they had a basketball program. I knew they had baseball and some other sports, but that's a great opportunity for him.
Yeah, and then you know, hopefully a year or two down the road, maybe go to a Division II school or something, and you know, showing that he can play at LCC, I definitely think he's capable of it.
One last question for me, Teddy. So you mentioned kind of how you went through the archives of the local schools and teams in this area. On what page did you read about Ted's interception record, or have you not made it to that page yet?
Did you get it in the mail? I sent it to you.
That was we you know, I think that's going to be on the first page probably forever. We just won't move it.
Yeah, if you don't know nothing about this area, if you don't know that he owns that record, what is it, 10 interceptions in one season?
Something like that.
Don't say the exact number, exactly what happened, what game. But yeah, so, all right. Yeah, I figured you knew about that. I just wanted to make sure you were brushed up on your Corona football knowledge.
Ted, and if that was today, you'd be a 4 or 5-star recruit probably.
I know. I got one phone call from a college, and my mom answered the phone. I was out partying or something and never returned the call.
All jokes aside, it is pretty impressive that that record still stands.
Yeah, it is. I'll take it. 50 years, baby.
Right. It's going to take a heck of a performance from someone to beat it. It might be safe for a while.
Oh my God. It's turned into the Ted Fattel interception show.
That's right.
let's move on. I will say this, Teddy. I do really enjoy your articles that I've read. You know, you do a nice job. It's not the easiest job in the world. I mean, when you get to football season and basketball season again, you spend a lot of late nights recapping games. Probably one of the biggest headaches when coaches don't report to you. You know, I'm sure you've run into that, right?
Yep. I would agree. That's the hardest part. The most difficult thing is just when you can't get a response, you can't get information. Cause it's like, even if a team's on the losing end or something, or if a coach, you know, isn't thrilled about it, at least they're, you know, talking and giving you something. So that, you know, that's, you know, like I said earlier, I've been fortunate in that I really haven't had too many negative experiences. Most of these coaches and student athletes have been great. So, but yeah, a lot of late nights, you know, particularly like, Friday nights, you know, when, you know, you just about every school in the area is going to be in action in, you know, football or basketball, whatever season may be, but love every minute of it. Wouldn't trade it for anything.
That's cool.
Well, we look forward to catching up with you down the road. This has been a fun convo. And before we sign off and let you go again, tell our listeners best way to catch up with you on Twitter and obviously pick up the latest Argus Press, right?
That's right. You pick up the latest Argus Press. You'll see my articles in there almost every day. And then on Twitter, it's at Teddy Rydquist 88, at my name and then the number 88. So I appreciate it, guys.
All right, Teddy. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Jacobs Insurance Agency has served Shiawassee County and the surrounding areas since 1977. Just like 3 Point Podcasts, we've had three generations, Gary Jacobs Sr., Gary Jacobs II, Brian Jacobs, and myself, Noah Jacobs, serving our community with offices in Waterford and Owosso on M21 just west of Home Depot. Stop in or go online to jacobsinsurance.com to get a quote or get your questions answered by our team. Jacobs Insurance is a proud supporter of our local schools and the proud sponsor of the Prep Spotlight. Insure everything, local, independent, and trusted. It's our family working together to protect yours. That's the Jacobs way.
Hey, that was good stuff from Teddy. Definitely read his stuff in the Argus Press. And where I get most of my Prep Spotlight stuff is from the Argus Press. So quickly taking a look at baseball, Owosso down Brandon 5-0 after a complete game shutout by Hayden Smith. Corona's off to a slow start. They lost to Twinville this week to Goodrich 7-0 and 8-1. I think they'll heat it up once the weather changes. And speaking of baseball, Langsburg, Ty Randall, I think he had Tommy John surgery last year after baseball. He had a monster day in a sweep of Potterville, going 7-for-8 at the plate, 3 doubles and a homer. The Tigers could use a kid like that, couldn't they? That's hitting the ball.
5-tool athlete right there.
Absolutely. And also in track and field, we were talking about it a little bit. Corona beat Lake Fenton and Goodrich in a Flint Metro triangular. Tarek Bauer won the 100 meters at 10.82 seconds, just 0.2 of a second off the school record. He also won the long jump, while twin Wyatt took home the gold in the 200 meter. The Owosso girls won a try meet over Clio and Brandon as Libby Summerland won the 100 meter dash and pole vault. Get this. Pretty good for the ladies' side, 11'3". Have you guys ever tried pole vaulting just to fart around with it?
I did. One of my best friends from the area, we've talked about him on the podcast, John Strine, he graduated in my class. He was a really good pole vaulter in high school, and he went to Eastern Michigan. He got a scholarship to pole vault. And so I kind of messed around with him a little bit, like, you know, him showing me some stuff or whatever. It's not as easy. Not that it looks easy, but it really takes some. You got to get it down. You don't just
really
got to
have the upper strength. You got to have that upper strength for sure.
And it's all about the momentum and the timing of everything. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. So no, that's awesome for him.
It's one of those things. Like, I've always like kind of grabbed the vault or the pole, I guess you would call it. Mm-hmm. But I've never had the balls to actually like vault myself up and actually give it a shot. It's pretty terrifying, to be honest. There's one thing maybe before we wrap up prep.
Yeah.
So you got a call from a college and you just said, meh, I don't need to return their call. Like, what are those idiots?
No, it's full disclosure. one of my close buddies, Randy Thayer, played at Northern Michigan. He played on that team that went from a winless team to winning the national championship. And I did get a call at home. Now, keep in mind, this is before the day and age of answer machines.
Right.
My mom answered the phone. They didn't even leave a number. She didn't write down the number. Just said somebody from Northern Michigan called about football, playing football. I didn't really want to play football. I knew how brutal it can be and how tough it is. But that's pretty much a story. Northern Michigan University had showed some interest. One phone call worth.
That's as far as Ted Patel's football career went.
That's absolutely right.
Well, when you know when they drop you off halfway up to college to have you hitchhike the rest of the way, I mean.
How imagine brutal would you would have had a hitchhike all the way up to the UP, man. You would have never made it.
I know. That would have been my training. I would have run up there.
Yeah, like a Rocky style or something. I wanted to bring something up. I have something to add to Prep Spotlight.
Yeah.
So I've said it before. My nephews go to Perry, and they both play baseball for the Ramblers this spring. Brady is a junior. My nephew Eli is a freshman, and they don't have a JV team, so he plays varsity. But my nephew Brady is killing it. He plays outfield and he's hitting .471 and already has 9 stolen bases. The other night, I guess they had a big comeback win over Stockbridge. They scored like 9 runs in the 6th inning to win. Wow. But it was a really cool moment that I wanted to share. So, you know, really cool that they're both playing well. Brady he's playing great right now for Perry. But the cool moment is, like I said, Eli is a backup catcher as a freshman and Brady is starting to pitch a little bit, and they actually got to like pitch and catch together, you know, brothers, one brother on the mound, one behind the plate. So pretty cool moment, obviously, to see them out there on the field at the same time. But yeah, Perry, they're playing pretty well.
How are you're able to keep up, obviously, with your sister, but are you able to check any NFHS feeds or any video feeds of any kind?
I haven't. I'm not sure if they're on there. They have a Facebook group that actually is pretty active, posting all this stuff. And yeah, family keeps me updated too. But I need to look in to see if NFHS has. I don't know if they do high school baseball, especially like for Perry. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I did check with Corona because I was kind of interested in maybe going and maybe throwing something up on our Facebook Live, you know, and maybe do a Corona Wasso. But they don't have an NFHS over there at the baseball field. So
gotcha.
It's too bad. One final thing I want to throw out there. Langsburg, they have a robotics team, and their robotics club's at the World Championships this week in Houston, Texas. So go Red Thunder. That's kind of cool. You know, we've talked about the e-games. I haven't really seen much about that. I know Corona had an e-club. Is that what it's called?
E-sports. They play
video games.
E-sports.
E-sports, the robotics club World Championship, that's pretty cool. Kind of goes with the Odyssey of the Mind that we're familiar with too.
See all those signs when you enter Corona, you know, OM World Championships.
That's, you know, it. Cool. Well, we're going to get into
we won't get into it this time, but a whole other topic that we could get into sometime, maybe during the dog days of summer. The kid for Lanesburg, was it, that already had Tommy John in high school?
Yeah.
Some friends and I were talking about it pretty extensively, you know, in our text group about how the Tommy John thing has just taken over and kids are starting to get Tommy John surgery in high school and just how crazy it is. And, you know, their kids are coming up through like 9U, 12U, 13U baseball, talking about kids already trying to throw sliders and stuff at that age. And so that could be a discussion. We could probably do a whole podcast on how crazy it is that kids are having Tommy John surgery in high school. That's just, it's insane.
Well, we should have a segment sometime out down the road about youth baseball and coaches that allow them to do that kind of stuff. You should just throw fastballs, maybe little small curves, but mostly fastballs. Work on the fundamentals.
Yep, I agree.
Just like Jared when he used to dominate Little League, right, Jared?
I had a 6-pitch mix, man. Fire, so I didn't get touched. I was my own worst enemy out there on the mound, man. If I could throw it in the strike zone, I couldn't get touched. But
there was a story, or was it you missed the game-winning free throw, or there was a story that like you gave up the game-winning grand slam or something?
I had a few blunders. I had a Chris Webber moment in basketball one time that was we were in sudden death overtime. I called a timeout when we didn't have any timeouts, kid, because it was sudden death and it was a technical. Went to the free throw line, buried it. We lost. That was brutal. The championship game, this is what I'm talking about, is I went the entire season. I don't think I allowed a run the entire year, And then championship game, I don't know what it was. I just, the pressure, whatever it was, got to me. Walked everybody around the bases, the old carousel, as they call it in youth baseball, and lost it for our team. So, yeah, that was the last time I ever set foot on a baseball field.
Never recovered.
That was when I kind of realized, this shit's for the birds, man. I don't know why I'm even you're playing this. Kind of a quitter's mentality, but I don't really regret it.
All right. Well, we'll leave the prep spotlight right there with that scintillating story by Jared. And we'll be right back with more right after this.
The Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center is another great addition to the Owosso community. Start your wellness journey today by signing up for a 2024 membership. Get 15% off a yearly membership and 15% off your enrollment fee for new members. Membership gets you full use of the workout equipment, fitness classes like Pilates, yoga, spin, and many others. Relax in the steam room or sauna after your workout. Run, jog, or walk around the third floor Skytrack. Enjoy the spa-like locker rooms with sparkling clean private showers and other amenities. For more details, go online at memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE.
Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services is the official and exclusive realtor and broker for 3 Point Podcast. Corey and her team have been providing personal, exemplary service in real estate sales since 2004. Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services are total professionals helping you sell your current house or buying your dream home. Stop in at 216 West Exchange Street in Owosso, get info online at coreyshook.com, and follow on Facebook at Corey Shook Realtor for more details. If you are looking for honesty, ambition, and expertise, you're looking for Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services.
Nelson House Funeral Home's number one goal is to serve the families in our area. The Nelson House staff are proud to serve our local community with reliability, integrity, and compassion. Unique service representing unique lives, ensuring your loved ones receive the honor and celebration they deserve. Founded in 1880 and continuing the tradition today with chapels in Owosso, Chesaning, and New Lothrop. For more details, find them at nelson-house.com or call 989-723-5234.
Success Group Mortgage and Servicing is Shiawassee County's only licensed mortgage broker, lender, and servicer. That means you get exclusive products not found anywhere else. If you are looking to purchase a home or refinance a home in Florida, Hawaii, or Michigan, stop what you're doing and give Success Group Mortgage and Servicing a call. 989-720-4380. That's 989-720-4380.
All right, guys, we're a little late on this, but last weekend, the Masters, Scottie Scheffler, he seems to be the dominant factor now in pro golf. Thoughts on the Masters? I know I did see the ratings were way down, and I don't know if it was because it really wasn't much of a challenge, you know, coming down the stretch or what the reason is or the whole live thing. Thoughts on that?
I don't know. I mean, I'd be curious to hear what Jared has to say, you know, because I'm more of the casual viewer. I'll watch the Masters all 4 days and some of the other big ones. But I don't think the live is really like tearing it apart like some people think. I personally don't think it is, because even the guys that went over to the live, they're still playing in the Masters and some of the, you know, the majors. So I don't think that's really playing into it. I just don't think the names are that. Scottie Scheffler is playing incredible. I mean, like Tiger Woods level incredible, but he's not that exciting of a guy. He's not, you know, he's not Rory McIlroy when he was really killing, obviously Tiger Woods and even Phil Mickelson, you know, like I just don't think there's characters in the game right now to really make people tune in. That's all I really think it is. Cause the diehard golf people still watch. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to get all the casual people to sit there all day on a Sunday and watch Scottie Scheffler and Morikawa, you know, like go down the stretch, it's kind of like, I'll check the highlights when it's done. You know, I don't know what you do to fix it. You just got to hope that another Tiger Woods comes on, or there's got to be like a rivalry, you know, there for a little bit, Jared, what it was, Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau were really starting to look like they were going to have a rivalry, but now they're like buddies. And
yeah, I think that was so like, manufactured. Like, I don't even know if that was a real rivalry. Like, looking right. back on it, like you said, it's like they're buddies a week later. It's like, how much of a rivalry really was it? Yeah, it's tough. I don't know. It's Scheffler's boring. I'd say I like right. Scheffler. I really like him. Like, that's what's, it's just kind of a bummer about it. But the ratings don't lie. He's boring. Also, the thing is, like, really since Masters in 2019, he's been kind of blowouts. Like, it was, you know, close at the start of Sunday, but by the time I flipped it on with, you know, six holes left to play, he's up by four strokes.
Right.
Coasting to victory. It was kind of a dud of a weekend, I felt. I mean, Mahoma, it was a stacked leaderboard for a second there, but again, there's no, the characters who I like on the tour, DeChambeau, people love him, they hate him. You know, Mickelson, you know, obviously Tiger, even if he's shooting 80 balls, we're seeing every single shot he takes because people care about him. There just isn't that guy right now. Yeah. I don't know if there will be. I think, honestly, what will really be that kind of pinnacle moment, Rory ever wins again. I mean, it's been 10 years. If he gets over the hump in a major, a Masters, whatever, I think that'll be like one of the highest rated events that we'll see for a long, long time. But it's just, we're lost. The game of golf is lost. The Masters is always awesome, but at the end of the day, we need a close freaking tournament. Give us something with three holes to play, two guys tied, and give us some actual drama. This basically putting the jacket on with five holes to play every year, what seems like it's been every year other than Bubba Watson 10 years ago in Tiger's year. It's like every year this thing is determined by the time I'm even tuning it on. So it's like it was kind of a dud.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's what we tune in for. I mean, we love the setting. We love what the Masters is all about. But if you don't have any drama at the end of a golf tournament, you know, it is a dud. That's just how it is, you know. Heck, I tuned in to watch Tiger. You know, he made the cut, so it was kind of cool to see that. And, you know, my thing is, being a broadcaster, Vern Lundquist.
Right.
Calling it a quits after 40 years. Class act, one of the best broadcasters of all time, and just has that soothing Masters voice. Gotta love it.
Jim Nance are perfect for the Masters.
They sure are.
Did you notice that they kind of like effed up his send off though? You couldn't even hear what he said. The music was blaring. Couldn't even hear Vern's sign off. He probably, because he was choked up, probably kind of whispered it almost. But as I saw it, I was like, well, that's not good. It's like, I didn't even hear what the hell he said. But honestly, what stole the tournament for me was Neil Shipley, low amateur. just a character. So he finds out he's golfing with Tiger on Sunday. He's got a caddy that's like 20 years old, like his buddy in high school. And basically what happened was that after he plays his round with Tiger, they ask him like, oh, Tiger handed you a note on like one of the fairways. He looked to his left as if he just saw like the devil standing over his shoulder and said, oh, that didn't happen. Fast forward to, you know, when they're in the cabin for the jacket ceremony, which is one of the most awkward 5 minutes on TV every year. John Rahm looked like he wanted to kill himself. And Neil Shipley looked like he was like in witness protection or something. Like, he looked like he was paranoid out of his mind when they asked him a question. Jim Nance even had a funny comment after Neil Shipley answered his one question, like, man, you're acing all the tests here at Augusta, because his answer was essentially something like, man, what a great tournament. Thank you, chairman, whatever his name is. Like, this is such a great tournament. I hope to be back again one day. So I thought he was kind of the best storyline of the entire tournament. It really wasn't even much of a storyline. Like, the shine is kind of rubbed off on that guy because he's gone up Pat McAfee now, and it's like, now you're just realizing, oh, he's not really that weird. It was really just, he was like kind of super duper nervous. So just a bad Masters. We need one of these star guys, DeChambeau, Rory, to win a damn tournament, man.
Yeah,
I think you, Rory would be the one. I think even a Ricky Fowler, even though he wasn't Rory level, he wasn't Tiger level, but he's such a good story. I think if he was ever legit in contention on a Sunday, maybe that would draw some people. I mean, but
him winning the Rocket Mortgage, that was the image of the season last year. It really was. That was a Rocket Mortgage that we're talking about.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens. You know, we'll be tuned in for the next major. But the Masters definitely left a lot to be desired this last weekend. Now, the Detroit Red Wings. Let's move to the Red Wings. Wow. I mean, this last week, I mean, it all started for me. You know, you guys know I'm kind of a casual fan. I'll follow the Red Wings heavy duty when they are in the playoffs and when they're contending for playoffs and a Stanley Cup. I think I've hit that point The game I went to was against Buffalo. Actually went live, enjoyed the heck out of that. And since then, I've been watching every game. I mean, it was the way I look at it. You know, they won last night. The Caps got in, though, because they got an empty net goal. Or the Red Wings could still possibly have made it. But didn't it feel like the last two games, especially you, Jared, working it, the last couple of games they played seemed to me like a pre-first round playoff. It was awesome.
It was wild. It was incredible. I never really have understood hockey, and I don't get what it is, like why people give a shit about this sport. Dude, those last two games, the last 2 minutes when Red Wings pulled their goalie, had to have a goal, it was more entertaining than the last minute of a Super Bowl. That's really how it kind of felt. Like, as 100%. I was sitting there watching, it's like, wow, you can get to your eyes on the screen. There's flurry shots are getting fired left and right at the goalie. Before that famous Lucas Raymond goal in the second to last game, the last home game of the season, like there was a big flurry around the net. I think the puck somehow ended up on the goaltender's back, somehow didn't go in. Like, it was unbelievable. I get it now. I get why people love this sport. I'm in. I think that's interesting you say that, Ted. I had a similar kind of thing where it's like, I get it now. I'm in on this sport. There's something about this team. They were kind of like the cardiac Red Wings. I mean, they had so many overtime wins. They're young, but they're also like one of the older teams in the league, but they have a few young stars. I mean, Lucas Raymond, I named one. I mean, really, the shame is if Dylan Larkin didn't get hurt midway through the year. I mean, we're playing in the playoffs right now. So just, I think people are being a little negative. Oh, the losing streak when they were 10 points up in that wild card spot. But I mean, you lose your star player and your team captain, Dylan Larkin. It's like, that happens to any team. It's like you're dead. So I don't put too much blame on anybody really in the team, in the organization. I just think it's bad injury luck more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, the injury definitely did not help at all. They did kind of collapse down the stretch because they had that wild card spot locked up. And I mean, it came down to those last two games that they had to win, and they should have been in before then. But what it showed me, you know, you remember what it was like when the Red Wings were making the playoffs every year, what, 25 straight years that they made the playoffs and they won all those Stanley Cups. And I mean, you've said it before, Ted, that Detroit really is hockey town. And these fans, I mean, yes, it's cooled off, you know, the last whatever 4 or 5 years because the Red Wings haven't been very good. But this city, or, you know, Detroit is ready for the Red Wings to be back in the playoffs because, man, Little Caesars Arena was rocking and everyone was talking about watching the Red Wings. I mean, yeah, you, Ted, were tuning in every night.
Every night.
So, and it made me, I mean, I flipped it on a few times when I could and wanted to see what was going on. So hopefully, like you said, Jared, hopefully this is something to build on. They add the right pieces this offseason and they're back in the playoffs because the Red Wings, the Red Wings belong in the playoffs. I mean, the Red Wings belong in the NHL playoffs. That's just what it is.
Yeah. I mean, the NHL is kind of weird the way they do certain things. I mean, the Red Wings had a heck of a year, 91 points, 41 and 32. In any other sport, you're in easily into the playoffs, right? I mean,
but isn't that what you bitch about? I mean, that's why you don't watch the NBA regular season. That's why I love that.
I need a squad
to make it in the NHL.
That's
like,
true.
It is kind of interesting. I had the same sort of thoughts. Like, well, 10 games above 500, you're battling like to even make it in. It's like, it's funny.
Well, sometimes when you look at the Western Conference and the NBA versus the Eastern Conference, the bottom of, you know, kind of like what's happening tonight, Wednesday night, the play-in, the teams in the Eastern Conference play-in would get smoked by the teams in the Western Conference play-in. You know, the two conferences are a little out of balance, but it's also an NHL because like the Red Wings had more wins than a couple of the teams that made the playoffs, but they didn't have, you know, the overtime wins or the shoot, you know, that those other points that you can get. So it is a little weird in that sense, but they don't have anyone to blame but themselves. I mean, they should have been in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I will say this, though, on a positive note, those last two games, I mean, when they had to get it done, they figured out a way to do it. Even in the shootout, you know, Kane scores the goal last night. They already knew that they weren't in the playoffs. They had heard that after.
That was a bizarre, like, 5 minutes.
Wasn't it?
It really was. I mean, the Red Wings scored with 3 seconds left, a miraculous goal, David Perron.
Miracle.
To keep your playoff chances alive. Literally 2 minutes later, you get the news that the Caps scored on an empty netter and it was over. It was, that was an, like, if you really think about that last, they had 7 seconds. They had to win a faceoff. They win it. They somehow score, like, just, that will be a all-time great goal that will be forgotten in history. But what a moment. I mean, you jumped out of your seat. I know you did, Ted.
Absolutely.
In your basement when that happened. So
yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, like we always, we sometimes get into inside baseball and your guys' jobs, you know, with ESPN and Bally Sports. I know you were working the game, Jared. I mean, what was the thought process first when he scored the goal and then the downer when you realized the Caps won?
It was, like I said, it literally was like, it was like they happened at the same time. It felt like it was unbelievable. I mean, people are jumping out of their chairs, going nuts. Like, that's when you realize, like, at the end of the day, people working these games, it's like they're fans. And
absolutely.
You know, I was still have a job to do, but like, if you didn't jump out of your seat with 3 seconds left, they make that goal. It's like, you don't have a pulse. It's like, I don't care what job you're doing. Like, what, that was the craziest thing I've seen in sports in a long, long time. Just a bummer that it kind of was taken away so quickly. You know, maybe if they could have waited to pull their goalie a couple extra minutes, you could have won that game, then had the whole shootout goal, and you have even bigger kind of burst of energy. And then maybe a few minutes after that would have been nice.
Right.
To have your season dash, but was what it was. I mean, that 10, 20 seconds of pure, like, adrenaline, you can't replicate that really in any sport, to be honest.
For sure, for sure.
It reminds you of playoff hockey is probably the most stressful sport. Maybe playoff baseball, because every pitch, you're living and dying on every pitch. But hockey, like you said, you're just, like, standing up because the pucks are flying around, and it's stressful to watch sometimes.
A perfect example is Mickey Redmond. You just listen to Mickey Redmond, man. You know what's going on. And the fans are doing the same thing he's doing. Whoa, wow, ooh, watch out.
What do you – I mean, Ken Daniels, that's like – you got to love him, right?
Yeah, he's really good. He's really good. That's a great team. But I just really have a spot in my heart for Mick, though. He's just – he calls it like he sees it. You know, he's an old-time Canadian and – you just got to love the way he broadcasts.
The way they it's impressive. Like, I don't know shit about hockey, but like when they score a goal and he like will draw it, you know, telestrate it, like how this happened, why they score. It's like, it's impressive.
Yeah.
They are an iconic team. Really, no other way to put it.
Yeah. We're pretty lucky. You know, we got Benetti now for the Tigers, you know, Dan Miller calling radio for the Lions. I mean, our area's got some pretty good broadcasters. That's for sure.
Dickerson too.
Dickerson, Cal on the radio side for the Red Wings.
Yeah,
we're pretty blessed. And speaking of the Tigers, let's wrap this podcast up with, they lost today to the Rangers 5-4. They'll start a set with the Twins on Friday, but they're still in the middle of things in the Central. But Matt, you've talked about it. It's no secret. Right now, they got to figure out a way to get some hits and drive in some runs, because they're getting it okay on the mound, but man, they got to figure it out at the plate.
I mean, at some point, the bats either have to wake up or the season's just going to fall apart, because, mm-hmm. Yeah, the pitching's been good. They're getting good starts. Their bullpen is solid. So, you know, you're getting what you need, or, you know, what you want out of your pitching. But, I mean, when as a team, they're basically hitting like 220 when, you know, your two bats that, you know, Riley Green and Torkelson are supposed to be the guys that are carrying this offense, they're barely hitting just over 200. You know, they're not driving in any runs. They're in the bottom of the league in home runs and slugging and everything. I mean, basically every offensive category, they're in the bottom five or so, mm-hmm. of the whole major leagues, not just the AL. So I don't know what it is. We've said AJ Hinch is, this isn't like a hot take by us. AJ Hinch is one of the best managers in baseball. That roster is bad, though. I mean, when you look at the lineup sometimes that he's having to put out there, it's like he's probably writing that lineup card and just like, it's all I got. These are the only guys I've got. I mean, I have to play these guys because these are guys that wouldn't be getting major league at bats with other teams. And, you know, I don't know what the solution is, but hopefully the bats wake up. Otherwise, they're going to blow this another chance. Because AL Central is not very good. So
fortunately, it's only 18 games in, but they do have to turn it around soon if they're going to turn it around.
Yeah, I mean, currently sitting in third in the AL Central, Royals are having a surprise season thus far, 12-7. I mean, Guardians 12-6. Big series coming up against Twins. I mean, the Twins are sitting at 6-11, fourth in division. You got to win that series. I'm not. People seem to be panicking. I'm not. The way I look at it, they're 10-8. They haven't had a severe – they've obviously dropped a little bit since their whatever 5-0 start. But at the end of the day, I think hitting will come. I hope. Or at least I'm not going to – what I pray it comes. at the end of the day, with what we've always struggled with Tigers, I mean, it's been the bullpen. We have a strong bullpen. We have a good pitching staff. If you were going to tell me what would I rather have, I'd rather have the strong pitching. I'll take my chances with A.J. Hinch, pinch hitting, all these sort of things, manufacturing some runs, stealing bases. It's not ideal. I mean, again, you're rolling through the lineup, you know, some 200s on there. But I'm not ready to panic on this offense yet. I think they're young. They're still so young. Riley Green, Torkelson, Parker Meadows, really first full season in the big league. It's like, give these guys some time to get their footing. If we're still batting the same, you know, these same averages come, I don't know, maybe not May, but come June. All right, now it's time. Like, we got to figure out what the hell we're doing in the future. But I'm not there yet, which is ironic for me to say because I'm usually the first one to hit the panic button with anything. So.
Well, yeah, if they can keep eking out these wins, then yeah, sure, it's fine. But it's crazy when you look at the run differential of those top three teams in the Central. Cleveland has a plus 38 run differential. Kansas City, sorry, they're second place, plus 39 run differential, which that's what you want. If you're going to win the division, you want a really good run differential. Mm-hmm. The Tigers' run differential, minus one.
Yikes.
They're eking out these wins. And, you know, I think it's just, yeah, you don't want to hit the panic button. Yeah, we're not even 20 games into the season. So we're not even into May yet. You know, you're not hitting the panic button yet. But you're always like one big injury away from just going off the tracks. Or, you know, one six-game losing streak. One, you lose 9 out of 10, you know, from the season's over. So what that's all you're kind of flirting with, I feel like. The bats got to wake up.
What helps me sleep at night, and I don't know, I don't understand why this would be like an AJ Hinch thing or maybe just a Detroit Tigers thing as of late, but we have been atrocious in April the last 3 or 4 years since AJ's taken over. It's like, I remember his first year, I think we were like 9-24 to start the year, ended up like, I think 3 or 4 games below 500. So just if you view it from that perspective where it's like, we talk about how great of a manager is. So you think a team managed by him, like they're going to get progressively better throughout the year. So they're in their worst stage right now in April, and they're 10-8, still very much in this AL Central race. So if let's just hope that trend where they really pick it up outside of April, let's just hope that stays true, and we'll be coasting to victory in the AL Central by the end of the year. So
we're with your thought process. Let's hope Hopefully. It comes true.
Yeah.
Hey, if anything, kind of like what you said, the series coming up against the Twins. Handle your business against teams in the Central.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Hey, let the rest play out the way it is. If you can stay in contention in the Central, then who cares? You know,
go get them, Tigers. All right. Let's call it a podcast, fellas. I want to say thanks to Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center. Talk to a rep or go online, see what discounts are available for memberships. Get yourself healthy. Get yourself in shape and get details at memorialhealthcare.org. Also want to thank our partners, AZ Branding Solutions, Jacobs Insurance Agency, Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services. Man, a great time to be shopping for houses right now. Nelson House Funeral Homes, Rivals Tap House and Grill, and Success Group Mortgage and Servicing. Also want to send a shout out to our friends at Chi-Town. They'll be up at the Westtown Theater in Bay City Saturday, 4:20. Get those gummies in line. Peace and love, everybody, and have a good week, and we'll talk to you next time. By the way, a little preview. Might be talking a little Gus Macker basketball next week, right?
Yeah.
All right, just a little tease for you. See you, everybody.
Hey, gang, please consider a donation to the ALS Association Michigan chapter, serving people with ALS and their families since 1988. There still is no cure for Lou Gehrig's disease, and every 90 minutes, someone is diagnosed with ALS. For more details, go online at webmi.alsa.org.
3 Point Podcast is a Sportsnet Michigan 3 Point Podcast production. Subscribe and share on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or any of your favorite podcast hosting sites. Comments and questions can be sent via social media at 3 Point Pod or by email to 3pointpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.